And here we are. We're still together. We're going to, with your permission, fulfill an inevitable prophecy through the heart and mind of my Savior, Jesus Christ, who informed you in his rather short sojourn within this time frame that he intended to individually testify. All right, to his certainty of a correspondence that he had discovered as a former human being in a new relationship he discovered with God the Father. And while we're going to acknowledge to each other a testification of our determination to organize ourselves as humans and to find relief from the pain and sorrow that we find ourselves in the dilemma of being separate from our creative source. You're listening to me. As he informs us, it remains our responsibility to at last stand up and testify to his message. In that first 52 minutes, we spoke and shared together from the King James Version of his New Testament, a testimony of a direct link to reality that comes from his testimony concerning first having undergone his own revelation of recognition in what we call the transfiguration of the body. He had an experience a resurrection that literally removed him from the bondage of the idea that he was locked here in space and time. So we're taking, with your permission, the testament that to you appears to be a couple of thousand years old, which certainly doesn't mean anything to me in my illuminate mind, representing, what did we call me, a scripture reader? All true scribes will begin by testifying to the scripture that's available to them through the mind of Jesus. I now present it to you with my evolved certainty that by reading the scripture, I have assumed an additional responsibility directed by my Savior to teach his message out into the world. Let's begin here. Okay, we'll get to the scripture in a minute. Let's begin with just a moment of prayer. Listen, the vehicle by which we are communicating at this time with each other is a level of association in a request to God that he honor our ideas about ourselves in a correspondence that will justify the message of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, you stand before me and behind and beside me in the place I see myself and everywhere that I go. You are in all the things I look upon, the sounds I hear, and every hand that reaches out for my own. In you, time disappears, and place becomes a meaningless belief, for what surrounds your son and keeps him safe is love itself. There is no source but this, and nothing is that does not share its holiness that stands beyond your one creation, or without the love which holds all things within itself. Father, your son is like yourself, and I come to you in your own name today to be at peace within your everlasting love. To be at peace within your everlasting love. What a joyous idea of the physicality employed in the idea of that prayer from Jesus, where the moment that we would attempt in friendship to hold each other's hand, that God would be present with us in recognition that through his resurrection we have a direct link or communication with the universe, not contained within the chaos of this world at all. I'm talking particularly to those of you who have looked at the situation in which you find yourself today. Here I am with you now as a body idea you have about yourself. I'm called the Master Teacher. Look with me. I promise you that the promise that I made to Jesus in regard to my certainty that his message could be heard in this world at this time is why I'm doing this scripture for you now. The idea that time is at my disposal is a very important feature of the New Testament of his Course in Miracles. And so much of it is evident in the scripture of his New Testament that the combination of the two will give you sure evidence of self-responsibility in regard to recognition of his Christhood based on your admission of the power of his love to demonstrate to each other the certainty that we are the kingdom of God and that we're sharing the kingdom together through this scripture. We'll continue just for a moment with your permission from the first hour a little bit more about the testament of the resurrected man, Jesus, who became godly in the entire association of his mind with the certainty that any single mind, most particularly yours, can arrive at the totality of a recognition of himself that allows him to disidentify himself from the idea of natural man and recognize that spiritual man through Jesus Christ was right next to him. Right next to you. My, I've seen that prayer had an effect on your aggregation. That's a great deal of joy for me. We'll read a little bit about how Jesus recommends you go into your closet, okay, and pray with a little secrecy about the difficulties that you're really encountering out in the world that you really don't want to go out and tell the world how much your suffering is really going on in you. So you turn inward, and this is, of course, the scripture, and ask for that relief in the prayer that I decided to bring out into the open with you, but I can see we're getting a response. What a joyous occasion that the light of the world that you brought with you when you came into this place of darkness has been brightened. A catalyst of love has accelerated your definition of an alternative about you that's been available since time began. Let's read a little scripture together. You have ears to hear this. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to the world it is not given. You now understand with your hearts and are converted, and I have healed you. It's important you remember, and we're reviewing just for a minute from the first half hour, that the world that you see out there cannot share with you the revelation, the joy that you're experiencing in your own newfound idea of being born again, because the world doesn't know anything about it. Now, the next sentence we're going to read includes not only doesn't the world know about it, but neither do any of the participants in the idea of pain and death that have orchestrated attack and defense modes that justify the pain and death of this place. Listen. Many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear these things which you hear, and they have not heard them. You hear what I told you? In a particular sense, followers of Jesus, when they begin to realize the full extent of the message that he's offering and attempt to share it with the world, including so-called righteous men and prophets, they discover rather to their initial amazement that what they heard, perhaps through that moment of secret prayer, and now recognize as a part of themselves in the continuum of time, is not being heard out in the world at all. All right? And the reason it's not being heard is because, very fundamentally, the fear of the message. If I'm occurring to you now and demonstrating to you your inborn capacity to exercise the power that's inherent in you as a human being and as a divine man through Jesus' resurrection in a discovery of your escape from bondage, you'll see almost instantly that this continuum defines itself as fearful. The simple fact of the matter is, the moment, trust me with this, that you would begin to overcome your idea of fear, and I'm looking at your contingencies of evidences of attack and defense right now, you would never stay in this continuum. The fundamental acceptance that love, as I love you right now, is simply letting go of fear, which includes all of you in your bondage to yourself, is why we have assumed this obligation through Jesus to carry this message out into the world. Listen carefully. Yes, we are a threat to the fearful ones. Could you hear that? Because the fearful ones depend on fear to justify a continuing observation of themselves separate from the kingdom of God. There it was right there. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born, right here and now, a Savior, who is Christ the world, Christ the Lord, I'll get it. And he's wrapped in swaddling clothes contained within you. And now you're going to represent your own sojourn in this world, aren't you? You're going to say to me, oh, yes, I was born a human being. And I've grown and matured in the idea that I'm a body. Look with me. Suddenly, somewhere within your sojourn in time, all right, there is a maturity contained within your concepts that offer you a fundamental certainty that the manner in which you have characterized yourself as a human being not only is completely fraudulent in the idea with other characters representing themselves as bodies, but that all of the characterizations of this world, the prophets, the wise men, actually justify an illusionary association in time or objective reality that in truth represent, are you ready? Nothing. All right. Yet when I scripturize this to you based on the certainty of the emergence of my Christ, let's look at it together. I've been born again. Let me look at your body there for a moment. Trust me, that's not who you are. Who you thought you had to be in order to impress on your objective associations a determination to live in the fabric of light that justified your idea of a body is simply not true. The mode of communication that Jesus offered me and I accepted was to understand that contained within me at any moment and capable of emerging in me in a short time association was the entirety of my identification as a human since time began and ended. This scripture that you intend to embrace now in the newfound you, look with me, is not really speaking to your characterization at all. I obviously am appearing here as a character that you can recognize within the particulars of slow time. All right? We've talked about this many times in these last 6 hours. The greatest story ever told is nothing but you participating in your drama of humanness in the fabric of time that continually reorganizing in separation to the emergence of a character that you intend to play in the dedication of a new script that's available concerning the certainty that your circumscription can be expanded simply by laying down the defenses of your own organization of mind in the simple realization, as our Savior told you, that you're attacking yourself within your own mind. The reminder of His Sermon on the Mount, what you put out there, you're going to get back. What you judge, you'll be judged, all right? As you begin to fundamentally realize you're only judging yourself, for that moment, the fear that you feel, the guilt that you feel, is increased. This is inevitable because you are representing in the entire idea of separation all the pain and death and loneliness there will ever be. And as you are reborn within the conflict of your own mind, you make a decision, and this is, of course, our Course in Miracles, to let the power and love of Jesus of Nazareth show you within this time frame not only the manner in which He escaped, but His inclusiveness of you in the idea of this location in time. This is the scripture that you think is 2,000 years old. Look with me as a risen master teacher. That's crazy. The most you can say about your past in the scripture is that it's over and gone. Let's say together scripturally, will you? Let the dead bury the dead. Say it. Yeah. All of the lonely dead ones out there are laying their bodies down into their grave and preaching the inevitability of death and loneliness. Why? He's come, hasn't He? This is the scripture of my Savior and the Savior of this world. If you want to hear it, it requires your own enlightenment procedure in the denial of death. Is he risen or not? Is he representing you in the new association of time? Yeah. Is it contained in the scripture that you think is 2,000 years old? How would it not be? Practice with Jesus. Here's what he says. The time will come and is now. From the time he occurred here within this time frame representing about 3 years, everything that could possibly occur in all of the ideas of man from the time of the emergence of the capacity of organization of mind, which is the invention of space-time, all right, were in that short sojourn of his mind, which he now is staying with you or abiding with you to continue in the immediacy of the demonstration that the only time there really is when. Now. So, now this reading from his mind in recognition of each other will show you a whole new parameter of consciousness that's going to make you very joyful. Then, let's read together a little more. What you fear is nothing. There is nothing to fear. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Listen from Jesus. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And I think you're getting ready to do it. Because the secret of salvation, in a very fundamental sense, are you ready? Was you were doing this to yourself. You're not going to avoid with the old man, they call me the old man, the master teacher, of my representation to you of the certainty of subjective reality. All he really says in the 3 years that he's here is, I have come you to take you to your true home and offer you my certainty that you are the cause of this world within your own mind. Listen, and when you change your mind, the world will change. Practice. I'm beginning to feel as though I'm being reborn. Say it. There it was. So here's this old man who the world, I know you're checking me, I'm getting a lot of publicity about being a 76-year-old ex-Marine who went through all sorts of combat and identified the pain and loneliness that existed in his enemy as well as himself, was willing momentarily to lay down the defenses in the simple acknowledgement of the futility of conflict. I see you're about to go through it again. I'm not going to comment on that. I will say this. As an organization of separation attesting to love, you depend on fear and conflict in order to love. So that if we begin to find peace within the continuum, war or ravagings of death and pain must occur in order to justify your location that you found in your momentary peace. The time will come indeed when the rationale for that becomes ridiculous, because it is ridiculous. Love is letting go of fear. Your Father is representing to you in all the universe the certainty that the love he has for you, that when you share it with your brother, with your enemy, with those that you previously were in combat with, in a dedication to love within the cycle of the limitations of your mind, you discover an expanding cycle of space-time that includes your previous enemy. Three more sentences here. Yet a little while and the world will see you no more. Listen, but I'm going to see you, and because I live, you shall live also. Now you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So the representation of the scripture to you at this time and place is a living demonstration of the converting agency of light that surrounds you in a discovery of a true purpose for going through the ordeal of self-identity that was required in the emergence of you from the shell of your characterization of a body form in a re-identity of self-recognition based on a direct correspondence that allows you to escape from the parameter of time that you had established in your own mind in order to sustain yourself in this body. The acknowledgement of the ordeal that you have gone through is the particular evidence I offer you as the old man. I share with you for a moment, as Jesus did, what you have gone through in your attempt to find the solution. The time will come, and did, when you will recognize the metamorphosis that's occurring within the confines of this continuum that previously represented fear in the joy and love we now share in self-recognition that allows us to see our brother as ourselves. We'll be back. These are done in 30-minute segments for the satellite. It's broadcasting to the world all about Jesus. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go because God is the mind in which we think and correspond our love. Shall we say it together? God bless us, everyone. Go. You're back. What you're beginning to feel is self-empowerment directly from this scripture at the instructions of Jesus. You're beginning individually to undergo an experience of power of mind through forgiveness that allows you to see this world in a whole new parameter of consciousness. For the Father loveth the Son and show him all things that he doeth. Do you want to read that with me? Look at this. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that you will marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quicketh them, even so the Son quicketh whom he will. What for goodness sake? Yeah, is that a little fearful to you? I can imagine that it would be. Shall I tell you why? You're fundamentally afraid of power of mind. In the ordeal that you are undergoing, the inevitable tendency of your conceptual association with yourself in body form and the projections of your mind that justify your Old Testament, your old covenant of pain and death that you intend to hold on to the advantage of your own self-annihilation, are no longer going to be successful to you. Yet when you discover through your own revelation a dislodgement of where you previously identified yourself within the continuum, you inevitably will be assaulted by this world, very simply because intentionally or perhaps even unintentionally the location of space-time that justifies the idea of pain and death is the necessity for the emergence of true you in an adjustment in Jesus calls this in Aramaic kata, the idea of sin or being momentarily dislodged from your true self. This scripture says, as Jesus appears here, I'm going to adjust your space-time location so you'll be able to recognize yourself and in that moment recognize your brother. Listen to how he expresses it here. I am God's Son, complete and healed and whole, shining in the reflection of His love. In me is His creation sanctified and guaranteed eternal life. In me is love perfected, fear impossible, and joy established without opposite. Look, I am the holy home of God Himself. I am the heaven where His love resides. I am His holy sinlessness itself, for in my purity abides His own. The idea that you can accept in the fundamental premise of this greatest story ever told, that the foundation, the church that you're building on, is the message, mind, heart, and body of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, so that you won't attempt to establish out in the world particulars that justify a location in time that has no sustenance of light, since it comes from a moment of dislodgement from eternal life. The church is one foundation, and it's Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you build on Him, the lovely expressions that Jesus utilizes that perhaps we'll get to in the scripture, as He leaves, He tells His disciples to take His scripture and take their sandals and take their staff and go out into the world and teach through their revelation His resurrection. There's no indication in the scripture of Jesus that you need to formulate a church of any kind except the internal love, the temple of God and love that's contained within your own mind that you carry out to the world, all right, as a messenger of His resurrection. You heard me. Those of you who have been studiously studying the script of your Bible, look with me. The foundation of the Word of Jesus Christ is built on literal acceptance. Example, it will be impossible for you to enter the kingdom of heaven unless you forgive your brother. And as impossible as that may appear to you within the confines of the location of this space-time, He reminds you immediately that the solution is not out in the world. The acts that your brother perform on you are inevitable in the idea of who you are as natural man. Here comes my saviorship. You're not who you think you are. Who you pretend to be in the characterization represented by this world in the drama to play out your little evidence of space-time and to suffer the consequences of temporal identity are not true. He is risen. Say it. Start to stand up. This from Jesus. It's time for you to stand up and say, wait a minute. I am feeling the joy of being reborn with the certainty that the temple of God is in me, not an artifact out there that represents the priests and all of those who are determined to justify terror and pain through the love of God. That is not the message that our Savior brought to us. yet see how amply, okay, it can be demonstrated through our sharing of this moment of love and forgiveness. What's it going to give you? The only real reason for being here. The mission that you have accepted in the mere watching of this video would be the only mission for which you would ever have made a sojourn into space-time. The only possible reason that you could be here is to testify, which we're doing now, aren't we? We all have, this is called the Last Judgment. If I get a chance in the second hour, I read to you, is everyone going to be judged in the end? The answer to that is, of course. And your allowance for yourself individually, within your own mind, to be judged will be the proof of your innocence. But as long as you consider yourself to be guilty, you will have denied the propitiation performed by Jesus in his own resurrection that allows you to admit to your innocence, not based on the conflict that you still hold in your mind. And since there is only a single representation within the entirety of the of what you would call the continuum of time, when he resurrected, so did you. When I recognized in the moment of my complete devastation my certainty of the unreality of this world, so did you. Huh? What are you going to tell me? You haven't recognized it yet? Huh? Let's look then with this scripture that's going to say what? This is the time. Huh? The time will come and is now. Listen. So here's the last judgment. In a little while, the world's not going to see you anymore, but I'm going to see you. And because I live, you shall live also. Now you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Let's just add, and you are in your Father along with me. Since you have loved me and kept my words, my Father will love you, and we will come unto you and make our abode with you. He's going to live right with you here. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. The recognition of the conversion of my body allows me to build my temple on his word, not on the establishments of the world. Now, it's going to say here in just a moment that the establishments of this world will not take kindly, you might as well look at it, to the message of my Savior Jesus, very simply because in a very fundamental sense, Jesus denies your guilt. And while you like the idea of saviorship, it may be difficult for you initially to see that the guy out there, you ready, is just as entitled to enter the kingdom of God as you are, or are any other particulars of humans that represent the necessity for you to maintain your guilt. I didn't come into this world to judge it. Jesus says, I didn't come into this world to judge you and to organize you into sufficiencies of love that dedicate yourself to hate your brother. I came into this world to save it. And I can't save the world until I save you. Okay. In my Father's house are many mansions. You are one of my Father's mansions. Recognize the uniqueness of you in the emergence of your Christhood. Let the world attack you for just that moment, because it will be a fundamental denial of this continuum of time that have forced you to observe the rigid laws of loneliness and death that are the particulars of separation from the eternal life that we are now sharing together in the emergence of our individual Christhood, in the recognition that Jesus abides with us and that our foundation of love and forgiveness within this continuum is based on his single word, that you are whole and perfect as you were created. Listen. Now that you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will, and it shall be given to you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. What you're going to be surprised at, and perhaps the old man is demonstrating it to you a little bit. This has been a recognition of many of you Christians out there who have attempted to forgive and carry the word of Jesus from the scripture, and have suddenly found yourself recognizing within the contingencies of your own conceptual self a new way to observe what you're seeing out in the world, which will change inevitably the manner in which you scripturize your own idea of yourself in connection with the scripture of Jesus Christ. Okay? We are testifying together, first to the admission of his word in recognition that the necessity for transfiguration and subsequent illumination and what you would call resurrection is based on forgiving our enemy. And as we proceed, all right, with the idea of forgiveness, are you going to listen to me? We begin to recognize in our own wholeness that there really was nothing to forgive. That the enemy that we saw out there was just as perfectly created in the whole universe as were we. Most particularly since the evidence of the certainty of our individual emergence through the temple of God built on the word of our Savior Jesus Christ have allowed us to operate our associations with each other in another continuum of time where we now abide in lieu of where we previously abided in the idea of the longevity of time, now being demonstrated through our resurrection in a shortening of our relationship of entering into pain and death, seeing that we were here and resurrecting. Where previously our Old Testament gave us evidence of entering into this place, searching for the solution at the speed of light within time, and not being able to find it. Shall I tell you why? In its simplest form, life is eternal. Say that to me. Therefore, your temporalness does not exist. If life is eternal, and I'm sharing with you my certainty of my eternity, even though I occupy this body for a moment, I will demonstrate to you how to escape the confines of your own mind that have justified your body or natural relationship and allow you to see that through his resurrection, he will abide with you until you complete the process of this continuum of time. Oh, thank you. The old man is undergoing a joyous experience because, very simply, I can see that whether it was 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years from now, the time will come, did, and is now, when you're going to begin to hear his words. Listen. Continue you in my love. You have kept my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The solution of abiding in love that I'm offering you are this. It's time for you to hear this in this mind training of the Course in Miracles. Since you can be only love because that's what eternal life is. The idea that you abide, okay, is a momentary occurrence in your mind that you can be located and live in a contingency of space-time separate from the creative reality of love, which you have learned to do through this scripture in the emergence of being born again in the certainty of who you really are, is to carry the love with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. Practice. I'm the light of the world. Who's the light of the world? You are. Huh? Should we try it? I know this is being watched by thousands of... Turn to the guy next to you right now, will you? And say to him, I'm afraid I'm going to have to tell you that I'm the light of the world. He says, he's liable to say to you, what are you talking about? I don't know, but I've got instructions from my Savior that I'm supposed to simply say it. Okay, in the mind training of his divine course, I have learned that if I speak it, it will be true because the speaking of my heart and mind within, in my determination to find the solution will speak of that solution through his resurrection contained within this time frame. Did you try that? You ready for the old man? Practice. And I know that you're really exercising your judgment on me. I don't care. All your judgment is false. Your father in the continuum of time has never been true. I'm speaking this directly from Jesus. I would strongly recommend at this time you stop in plugging your idea of judgment. I tell you why. Every time, everything you judge is going to come back to you. Every time you inflict pain on someone else, it's going to come back to you. Every time you allow your brother to suffer, you're going to suffer. These are the words that I have given you conceptually. Now it's time to make the application of the emergence of your light based on the abode of your body in a new continuum of time where you begin to recognize each other in the love of our Father through the resurrected mind of Jesus. Did you see? Could you hear that right there? Many of you in this continuum are beginning to hear directly the voice of Jesus. Why shouldn't you? Look, you've been carrying on a dialogue with your false self within your own continuum of time since the beginning of time. What I'm assuring you of is that the comparison that you make with the images of the projections of your mind that cause you to believe that you're separate can be adjusted within the frame of your own self-identity if you recognize in a very simple fashion that all of your conceptions of self-identity are not in truth who you are. What does this require? A miracle of the awakening of your own mind. The practice of our course through the mind of Jesus say nothing to you except there is no reality in natural man. The obvious problem you have is every time you examine yourself, you inevitably reach a conclusion that justifies the continuation of your place in time, which was over a long time ago. Look, just one more minute. Listen. You have kept my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Listen, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Are you ready for this? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you. And it looks like that's going to be the completion of this first hour of scripture in the testimony of the Savior of this world, Jesus Christ, who is speaking from his own certainty. All of the human condition is always only a testament to what he believes he is within his own relationship of guilt that identify him as a body, within the ordeal where he searches for justice. It will always be in the fundamental necessity for a circumstance that justifies the guilt in his own associations he is forced to assume in order to participate in this world. And he's here, and he attempts to love within the circumstance of his location in the body and everything that he sees. I looked at your television this morning. I wish I could come back and do another hour. I just arrived here. I'm reborn. There's a whole contingency of us who have recognized the light of Jesus Christ and have given our promise to him, as we did in this old New Testament, to come back for a moment and represent the light that we have experienced through his word, to carry his word in the recognition of our Christhood, in the certainty that the converting agency of light found within space-time, or the idea of sequencing of past association that establish circumstances in the future that deny you access to the light that you're feeling now. And one of your brothers standing next to you was just revealed. If it doesn't appear to be that, let him see the light that you recognized in him, okay, that I have offered you through my certainty of your perfection. You are as God created you, and there's nothing you're going to do within this contingency of time that will deny you the access to heaven. What did our Savior just say? You weren't chosen. I picked on you, and I expect you now, because of the ordeal that you have gone through in order to recognize me at all, not to go back and repeat that ordeal again. The time has come at last when you will hear this. We'll be seeing each other very soon. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the scripture and testimony of our Savior Jesus, who has been with us since his resurrection. Let's say it together. God bless us, everyone, and most particularly you, because you've suddenly decided, I'm going to assume the role of my own saviorship. And in that assumption, I will recognize my true reason for being here. I'll see you.